Welcome to 5 Minutes to Inner Peace, hosted by Mary Allen, author of The Power of Inner Choice, 12 Weeks to Living a Life You Love. This audio is a segment of Mary's live event, Awakening Beyond Achievement, because success is nothing without inner peace.
So let's see what can be experienced in this moment, shall we? So how many people here can hear the sound of my voice? Beautiful. And so do you notice, does it seem to require any effort to hear the sound of my voice? And do you notice any time delay between the arising of the sound and the hearing of the sound? And does it appear to require any thought to hear the sound of my voice? So might it be true to say that hearing itself is timeless, effortless, and thoughtless? And if your eyes aren't open, open your eyes and just notice, do you see me holding 3 fingers up? And does it appear to require any effort to see these 3 fingers? And do you notice any time delay between the looking at the 3 fingers and the seeing? And does it require any conscious thought to see these 3 fingers? So might it be true to say that seeing itself is timeless, effortless, and thoughtless? And as you're seated where you are, just notice if you experience any body sensations. Sitting in the chair, hands touching. And as you're aware of those body sensations, does there appear to be any time delay between the arising of the sensation and the actual feeling of the sensation? And notice, does it appear to require any effort to feel the sensations as they arise? And as you notice, does it appear to require any thought
what I thought was interesting was just you were talking, of course, and just the rhythm of your voice totally got me, I'll say, speak for myself, into that quiet space until eventually I did get to that point of no thought. Even though I was listening, I could hear you. And the fact that it happened so easily and effortlessly and quickly was what stood out for me.
Beautiful. And so the experience was quiet, peaceful, thoughtless. Beautiful. Who else would like to share their experience?
I really came to a sweet contentment.
Contentment, yeah.
So the quality, it just had this real sweetness to it.
Very nice.
The best way I could describe it is emptiness.
Emptiness.
Stillness.
Stillness.
Love.
Beautiful. And this stillness, this emptiness, this love, this is what we call awakening. Everything that what you're describing, contentment, the place of peace when the mind stops going, yeah, this is awakening. And generally, our attention is so much in the experience that we're completely overlooking that which is experiencing, right? We may experience touch, but we're just in the experience, right? Oh, we're just touching. So our attention is generally in the experience, but awakening is simply going back to the place that is simply observing. Who else would like to add something that they experienced?
I was just struck how quickly it happened, sort of like what you were saying, and that normally when I meditate, I have to be in a place where I'm comfortable and I feel safe and there won't be people distracting. And here we are in a room of people that mostly I don't know, and in that much time, you know, in no time, I felt quiet and calm and safe, and the thought came to me that you can find that anywhere, anytime. Which
yes.
is pretty cool.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Like we can find it anywhere, anytime, and really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, you can do this. Even if it's in the middle of a move and you're, you know, you're hauling boxes up and down somewhere, or you get a flat tire last night as you're on your way to pick up copies and it's going to close at 9 o'clock and, you know, you're two blocks away. It doesn't matter. I mean, we really have access to it. It's just about where do we want to shift our attention. We can either get caught up in the movie, or we can rest back into that peaceful place that's like, wow, look at what's occurring right now. This is interesting. All right.
Yeah. For myself, I felt like when I meditate, I have a lot of chatter. And this time, I just felt nothing. There was absolutely blank.
Perfect.
Space, yeah. And quickly.
That's
like
it. So nothing.
Yeah.
Isn't nothing beautiful?
Very calming. And I guess that's what we call peace.
That's what we call peace.
Yeah.
And this is exactly why after I had this experience that somehow I wanted to communicate with other people like, okay, I just stumbled into something really good. I don't know how in the heck to describe this, but it's very peaceful. Okay, inner peace. I can talk about inner peace. People will understand what that is.
Right.
Yeah. It's a good thing, huh? Good. Yes.
It felt unencumbered.
Unencumbered, yeah.
Yeah. But with an awareness, but a peaceful awareness. So I don't know, you're talking about nothingness, but it was unencumbered awareness.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly it.
I was just going to say, I think I'm broken, because when I did this, I was like designing JV strategies in my head. I really like it. But then I was talking to Mary because I noticed that I was doing that, that my mind is like constantly thinking and strategizing and planning and orchestrating. But then I started to at least notice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like we can be in the planning, and there's times when we're in the planning and and there's a time when we're noticing, wow, we're planner girl right now. We're like, we got it going on, and we can do this and that. But just that noticing, that is That's the place of awakening.
So I have a question, though, about that.
Okay.
Can you, from that place, communicate to your mind to shut off or slow down? Okay, this man's laughing at me over here.
It's like, I guess he wants to know the answer, too.
Okay, good. Oh, good. You're with me? Okay, good. Right. You're laughing with me. I get it.
Right. So here's the good news and the bad news. Thought isn't actually something we get to control. Feelings arise, sensations arise. Same thing with thought. It's not that we can just, push a button and thought goes off. That's just, unfortunately, not how it works. However, when we spend more of our attention and place more of our experience in the place of awareness, what naturally occurs is the thought goes down. And you can literally learn to shift from, I'm really caught up in the planning. Now, let me just rest back. Who or what is hearing now? Who or what is seeing now? Who or what is observing thought? And it's sort of like a muscle.
Mm-hmm. Is that therein which lies the practice?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of things that then we can do to kind of relax thought. It's like, what are the thoughts around? And we can do some things that will make them less compulsive.
My husband made me a sign.
Read the sign. You are here.
The dot.
I want to thank you for your share, because I've been in your shoes. And when I listened to you, I felt like that woman over there that said she was unencumbered. I just love that. And I got the thoughts out of my head because I felt extremely calm. However, right in the middle of it, my stomach started growling, and it was noisy, and I was embarrassed, and I went right into that, oh my God, I hope nobody heard me, and I wanted to apologize, and then I just kind of got back into it because you kept going on, and then I was able to get that thought out of my head. But I have to pat myself on the back, because after listening to you, Kelly, I always used to do that my mind, I couldn't stop it. And now I'm finding that in order to do that for myself is I have to breathe. And when I start really focusing on my breathing, it'll slow me down. And doing that was your process, is you slowed your breathing down, your tone down as you were talking, and you got all of our attention immediately, and it slowed us down. It was an energy in the room, and you just took it, you took control of it, and I was right there. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much. That was a really good learning experience for me. And thank you, Kelly. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Very good.
I also want to continue on that. Trying to get my mind to shut up is practically impossible. In fact, when you tell your mind to shut up, it tells us, you shut up. But what you said is, when you start to observe, this thing was just going on and on and on, and you step back from it, then that the noise starts to drop. Still there, but
as we just rest back into observing thought, if they tend to calm down. If we all of a sudden step into the mode of thoughts, go away, go away, go away, thoughts, go away. It's like anything we push against, engaging it, right? If we just simply, here comes the thoughts, and then like clouds, let them go. If we just observe them, then we'll see another thoughts are arising. And then sometimes no thoughts arise.
A good example on one of our, when we learned meditation, he said, think of it as a television set in the other room. It's on, but you're not paying attention to it. You're focused on yourself.
Yes, that's actually good.
That's awesome.
So a couple more quick shares here.
Yeah. Well, I felt like I got pretty calm, but what generally happens when I get into that space is I start to analyze, who is this that's watching? And I get kind of caught up in trying to figure that out.
Yeah, so as you shift your attention to that eye, what is noticing that it's getting caught up? Very good. Last one.
I, as you spoke, I felt very calm. And I was going where you were going, in a place of peace, and because I was looking forward to this day and really wanted to come here. And I noticed also that I felt resistance, and I felt physical resistance as well in my body, where I wanted to leave, not in the physical sense, but usually, actually, I'm consciously choosing to participate right now, because if I don't, I'm going to withhold myself, and I'm not going to get the most out of this.
Right.
And so
it's so perfect. So this is a good segue, because we're actually going to be talking about resistance here in just a moment. We can resist this place of awareness. I mean, we've resisted all day long, right? Sometimes we turn on the television. We do all kinds of things to distract, you know, awareness or mute it. So good. So a couple other notes I want to make about what happens after awakening. Here's sort of the good news and bad news about awakening is that no matter how profound an experience of awakening, there's still a process of integration. So I saw most of you raise your hands when I said, have you had an experience of awakening before? And it can be very frustrating, right? But it's like, we know this place exists. We know, gosh, we were in that room, and like in a matter of seconds, we were able to drop in. And so why in this moment am I freaking want to throw something across the room, right? We've had those experiences before. I've called Gina on one or more of those occasions. Well, I was having one of those experiences. So there is this process of integration. That's one truth. But the more, there's things that we can do to begin to integrate that more and more fully. So here, there's five things that happen oftentimes after somebody has experienced awakening. So for some people, it's business as usual, right? That you might not have a label or, you know, to know what that was. I've had several clients that have come to a coaching session and say, you know, I was in the park after work, and I was there, and like all of a sudden had this experience where I had a sense of inner peace almost for no reason at all. And I sort of was like, okay, is this all there is to life? And it was like really beautiful, but it was an awakening, and without somebody to share that with and validate that this is a pivotal turning point, this is what it is, people can just go on about their life, no big deal. So that's one thing that happens. Fortunately for me, right after I had this experience, I had actually driven to Northern California. I was living at Southern California at the time. I came up to get, believe it or not, a body sculpture of myself. I had done this body sculpture, and I happened to have a rental car, an SUV rental car from Lexus. And I'm like, oh, perfect, I've got the rental car, I'll run up now and get this. So I'm coming up here to fetch my body. And here in the middle of actually an argument with this guy that was one of those not-so-healthy relationships, but in the middle of an argument is where this awakening occurred for me. Kind of a bizarre place for it to occur. And I remember the next morning getting in the car, driving home, and I actually popped in some Eckhart Tolle into my tape player. And actually, even that night, I actually was reading some Eckhart Tolle right after. But as I was listening to him the next day, normally, I don't know how many people have had the experience of listening to Eckhart Tolle, and like, he's talking too slow. It's like, you know, what's the point? It's like, I know there's something really profound here, but what is it? Well, after this experience that I had, all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is what he's talking about. Got it, right? So that was one of the things that helped in the integration process. And I suspect for many of you that many of you probably had some positive experiences in listening to Eckhart. But if you're really in, if you're hanging out in a real second layer reality, he's really tough to listen to. If you're here or can drop in quickly, it really helps deepen the experience. I'm seeing some heads nod on that one. Okay, so first thing that can happen is business as usual. Second thing that can happen is it's like the Lord spoke to me and there's something out there. So the experience of awakening is it's out there. So this sometimes occurs, people in a like a born-again Christian type of a situation, and they become very religious, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all, but that's one experience that can happen after awakening. Another thing that can happen is there's a re-entry high. So really good feeling, and you really, really get it, and there's like life is really good. And sometimes this occurs for people when they go to a seminar. I think this is one of the things that creates personal growth junkies, is we go in this experience and there's something that occurs. We're so in the present moment. We're getting connected to our power. So we have this re-entry high, but then pretty soon it's sort of like we're back to business and distracted. And so when's the next seminar? Going to the next seminar. I want to get plugged back in. There's a fourth possibility, and that is total supreme enlightenment. That all of second layer dissolves. We are now one with everything in the universe. It's total supreme enlightenment. From what all of my mentors and teachers say, that's a myth. That even Arjuna Arda, who's interviewed literally hundreds of people that we would consider the most enlightened sages, that when asked, are you enlightened, they all laugh. Like, that's not really what happens. But what's most likely is this last one, which is an initiation into endless evolution. So that there is a constant rivering, a continual deepening of this experience of awakening as we rest greater into a place of inner peace. Do you want me to say it again? An invitation to endless evolution. Very good. Let's go to page 5. This is the awakening model. So, to really understand awakening, that which people were talking about, emptiness, stillness, peace, right? All these, present moment, this is the place of awareness, this is the place of awakening. But as life, like as human beings, we have this second layer of reality. This is a second layer of reality here. And the second layer of reality can only exist through thoughts and reactive emotion, right? Reactive emotions live out here, not inside of pure reality. It gets sort of made up. So the past and the future only exist as a result of thought. This is where the ego lies. This is where fear lies. This is where that JV partnership conversation was going on. That was out here. Out here in the second layer of reality, what was observing the JV planner was right here. So when we have our attention out here, which is really where most of us end up living our lives, right? We're living out here in thought. In fact, some of us are constantly, you know, we're in the future of like all these things we got to create. And you know, what else is out here? Judgment, stories, we make up meanings. You know, we get a flat tire on the way to the print shop, we can make up a story that, you know, the whole event's going to be ruined or whatever else. Or be like, okay, well, good thing we're only like 2 blocks away from the FedEx office. I'll just get out and walk. And by the time I got back, AAA had already fixed the tire. Isn't that great? This is where interpretation lies out here. So it's all in the second layer of reality. So we can look at the second layer of reality, kind of like clothing. Clothing is a good thing, right? It's useful if you live in a colder climate. It's useful if you want to cover up certain parts, right? It's a little bit more socially acceptable to, you know, be wearing clothes and so forth. We can look certain ways and different personalities. We can dress up. But imagine for a minute that you couldn't take off your clothes. like you were stuck with them, like never. You know, it's like showers would be a totally different experience. You know, like all kinds of experiences would be different, right? Like all of a sudden, if you imagine what it's like not being able to shed the second layer of reality, like clothing, it feels restrictive, right? Just even the thought of it's sort of like, oh, it's like I like this outfit, but not that much. I like being naked. So like this is where nakedness lives. This is where freedom lives. And then great, we can choose to put clothes on or not as necessary. Some people really don't like to wear clothes, and there's places they go hang out also. In the world, it's useful to have thought and do planning because Kelly and I might want to do a JV, so I'm really glad that you know you had that conversation. And it can be very useful for us navigating and planning and what we're doing. But if we can't take it off and we're constantly in obsessive thoughts, reactive emotions, yeah, it's a little more cumbersome, yes? So any questions about this model of awakening? Any surprises? Yeah, comment over here.
It occurs to me that, so like clothing, you have to have it sometimes, right? But you can choose your
outfit.
Unless
you want to be arrested.
Right. So you can choose what you want your thoughts to be. They don't have to be negative thoughts. They could be positive thoughts. Your emotions can be positive emotions. They don't have to be negative.
So absolutely.
You do have some control choice over the quality of that second layer.
Absolutely. And there could be a lot of fun in planning a vacation to Belize or a cruise. Mm-hmm. One more bubbling comment.
Actually, a question. I've always thought of inner peace as something that you can have even in that second layer of living. To me, this is living, you know. And these are moments where you don't have to think. You don't have to plan. You don't have to do the good things of the second layer. So how do you get this center to integrate
so
out?
And that's really the truth. It really is about ultimately integration because we're never going to, and the goal is not to get rid of our egos. That's impossible. It's not to get rid of thought altogether. It's not to, and there's a lot of useful things about it. But it's, is it controlling you or not? It's juicy to plan for a future and to organize. And I mean, this is very fulfilling out here. So it is about more resting. It's like, where are we dwelling our attention? So, and we experience that. You'll see kind of on the circle, seeing sensations, hearing, smell. Like we experience life through the sensations of our body. And that is how we ultimately experience reality. And there's one other distinction out here. There's this word called concepts out here. And even the concept of enlightenment is a second layer of reality. Because the concept of enlightenment, like it's out there. It's a construct made up in the mind. It's not a pure state. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And if we were to go after even the concept of, well, you know what? If we put the concept of inner peace out here and we're trying to chase it as something to obtain, just as soon as we start chasing something outside, it's going to be harder to get. But if we rest back and put our attention and our experience in this place of reality, then we experience life differently. Get yourself in a comfortable and relaxed place. And good to stretch beforehand. And let's see what can be experienced in this moment. So how many people can hear the sound of my voice? You can just answer inside of your mind or nod your head. Do you hear the sound of my voice? Do you notice, does it require any effort to hear the sound of my voice? Just notice for yourself. And do you notice any time delay between the sound arising and the actual hearing